I think that we have a really strong community, and the association in sports club is really, really strong in Sweden. And I think they have like 3 million members in total.
Stockholm is a state of mind. Hey, Stockholm is a state of mind. Yeah, we break it down like this and like that. Welcome to the podcast. Stockholm is where it's at. Let's go.
Welcome to Stockholm is a State of Minds, the only podcast you need to become Swedish. I'm Maria Fogelström.
And I'm Philip Rohr. And we're the hosts of this podcast, created for international people like you who have moved to Sweden so you can learn more about your new home country and make you feel more welcomed.
Philip, have you thought about how many sports clubs and sports gear shops and shops with equipment for outdoor equipment you have in Stockholm?
Yeah, it's there are quite a few. And gyms.
Yeah.
Many different brands. It feels like it's on every single corner. There's a gym and people jogging around Stockholm and cycling and running with their dogs and
running in groups
at lunch with their companies. Yeah. It's a very active city.
It's a very active city, and it really feels like it's a lifestyle.
It does. Yeah. It does. Many people talk about work-life balance, mm-hmm. and I think a key feature of that in society is people being active. It's not just not at work. It's actually being active, no matter the weather as well.
So we are a bit curious about if this is a new phenomenon or if it has been like this for a long time in Sweden. So in the studio today, we have Elin Ekblom Back, who is a docent in sports science at the Swedish School of Sport and Health Sciences. She also has a career as a former elite football player behind her, as well as an expert football commentator on I think it's TV4, Viasat and Eurosport. Good. Welcome, Elin.
Thank you.
Elin, your research is about how fitness affects the risk of getting and possibly later dying from cancer.
For example, that's one of my topics that I work towards.
Yeah.
But if I could say something, my main like starting point is what you just discussed.
Oh.
I mean, physical activity, movement, and the consequence, fitness, or if we sit too much. So like the physical activity pattern, that's where I start, and that's my expertise.
Okay.
And then we have linked in to different things. It could be In my PhD was towards cardiovascular disease. Now we have been looking into cancer, but we are also working with both available data, but collecting data, doing experiments. So, but the main start is the physical activity pattern, why people do that, what they do, and the effect of it.
Ah, before we sort of get into what this looks like in society, I'm quite interested to hear how the research Geihua impacts. Like, what do you... How does the research impact society?
Yeah, I just can just make it clear. Like GIH, it's the Swedish World Gymnastik och Idrottshögskolan. The Swedish word is the Swedish School of Sport and Health Sciences. And we are mainly educating, and the educating part is towards PEs, physical educators, but also health promoters and trainers and so on. But our research, I will say, have gained a lot. We have shifted a little bit. We were actually really internationally, like in the front line in the 50s, 60s with physiological research. One of the most renowned physiological researchers who actually invented carbohydrate. You know when you're going to do the long distance running and so on. You know, everyone knows that you have to fill in with carbohydrates to be actually. And that was actually something that came up, the idea and the thought about that was actually invented at GIH here in Stockholm with one of the most, our professors there. So we have been really strong in the physiological field, but now we'll be more and more towards, even though we have that field, we have more and more towards the public health field, I would say. So our influence today is that we are doing a lot of research with the starting point that I said from physical activity and movement, but in different areas. So school... We are working really hard towards schools right now. We have a really interesting project going on to see if we can prolong the school day with audio listening, books, walking, etc., to improve learning and such things. You know, so you go into and do interventions in school,
but while not being sedentary.
To help them both do this extra activity, but see if that could improve learning outcomes, but also the study situation and so on. But also towards the companies and organizations and the working life to see. Is it actually good that your employees are sitting during the whole day? Yeah. Are they really productive at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or should it be in some other way? Mm-hmm. So I will say that we both create knowledge, but also out there to try to like look in the real world, how to make some difference, to have knowledge and gain knowledge from that.
I think it's good for children and schools, since my picture is at least that Swedish school children have got really little sports on their agenda.
Yeah, that has been reduced. Now there have been also a suggestion have been incorporated to increase the hours of school sport in the schools. So the problem is that sometimes it's only on theoretical learning, and that's good to know why you should move and so on and health. But the practical part is also important.
Of course.
So they decided with 100 more hours of school or PE, physical education class in school, but they have centered that to the 7th, 8th and 9th grade, because that's when you see when people are, or kids are dropping out from sports and so on, that's when they go to 7th, 8th and 9th grade. So they're focusing more on that. So, but there are different ways to be active in school. It does not just have to be the class.
No.
It could be also like during the breaks and so on. And a little bit sad, I would say, because in US and so on, they are really strong in this, you know, sport outside school hours, but in the school regi. But we don't have that in the same way here. We are more into the leisure time with the different sport clubs and so on. But the schools are not that strong in sports. We don't have that, the tradition of...
Of sports, of schools competing against each other.
Yeah, exactly. There are some, but they're really not really there,
I would
say.
That's interesting, because it for me growing up in the U.S., it was sort of almost a part of the school day. I would get out at 3:45 and then have 2 hours of basketball practice, and it was almost baked in. It wasn't part of the school day, but it was so connected.
But I mean, just look at American football, for example. The schools playing each other, I mean, there are almost more crowd there than the NFL. I mean, it's crazy, and the hockey and all other sports that I don't know about, it's crazy, and we don't have that tradition. We have another tradition here in Sweden.
In Sweden, a doctor can propose physical activity on prescription. I think that's very interesting. Does that exist elsewhere? Do you know about that?
Yeah, and it's actually not just the doctor, it's all the healthcare personnel that are having their license to be a healthcare personnel. So it can be a nurse, it could be a physiotherapist, it could be a doctor. Yes, there are provided elsewhere, yes, but the Swedish form of physical activity on prescription is a little bit different and has been more successful in that way.
Okay.
So this is called physical activity on prescription. Elsewhere, I think it's called exercise on prescription. And the difference is that the exercise on prescription in other countries, in Norway, England, and so on, they are more like, okay, you have this condition or you should be more active. I prescribe exercise. So we go to this class for 12 weeks doing this. This is what I tell you to do. The Swedish one is more, okay, you need this, the same starting point, but what's working for you? How can we create a situation where you can be active? This is your prerequisites. Okay, how do we do now? So you more individualize.
And more long-term thinking, maybe.
Yeah.
Should and it's be all, sustainable for...
Yeah, and it's always included with a motivational interview and counseling. So you're like... You know, it's always going to be barriers and facilitating like factors. So that one has shown in research to have an effect to increase physical activity, reduce sedentary time and improve health. While the other type of intervention, when you point with your hand and say you should do that, is not that successful. So there has been a debate. Is it actually something that we could should put money on or not? But as we have proven that. So actually, my colleague, who is one of the leading researchers, this is actually now putting this physical activity on prescription, the Swedish version, into the EU. So they are exporting this kind of thought, how we should work with it. So it's really cool that we have shown that this could work, but you have to be individualizing the advice. You shouldn't just go do this, do that. One size doesn't fit all.
True.
We We were talking earlier about how Stockholm is quite an active city with many gyms. There are people jogging no matter the season. And I think something that's quite interesting about Sweden is that the friskvård bidrag, or the wellness benefit, has that been around for a while? And do you think that's sort of one of the reasons it's an active city?
It could be. I'm giving some signal that the employer is actually into your health and trying to help you. And it could be. One of the drawbacks with that is that what you see in the central Stockholm or in the more rich suburbs, it's the socioeconomic gradient that's always present, both with health and with activity. So when you have this opportunity to use this 2,000, 5,000 crowns, something a year, it's most often those people that are really already interested in being active that is going to use it.
Could you tell us a bit about history? We mentioned it in the beginning that it seems like Swedes have been active and outdoor for when I was a child. I mean, everyone, you always went out. In wintertime, you did skating or skiing. You're always outside. You have, preschools in Stockholm now, where the kids are outside all the time. Yeah. A bit outside sports freaks. Is that is that something? How old is that? And why do you think it's like that?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's a tradition. It's something that we have been growing up with. And as you say, we are, even though we have cold winters and it's raining, we are like, there are no bad weather. It's just bad clothes. And we're out there. Yeah. I think that's a good thinking. And the preschools that you mentioned, some interesting research have shown that the preschools and schools area with smaller yards have less active kids. So they are really promoting to increase the space where you can be, and that will increase the activity also in playing. But I think the shift, and it has been a tradition, but I think the shift has gone from more, prestigeless activity. Yeah. In Sweden, we have something called friskis and svettis, which was invented in the 70s or something like that, which was the movement of, you could go down to the local, you know, sport pitches and so on, but it was not on the pitch. It was just on the grass, and someone was there doing some movement. I remember I was there with my mother, and we were doing this, you know, like exercise, like with some music and so on. And that was prestigeless. There were no Instagram and TikTok or something showing that you were actually doing this activity. So I think that the shift, the mind is still there, but the shift has, and I think it has maybe worldwide, move towards more that you have to show off what you're doing. And you, I mean, you really want to, I've done this race, I have skied the Vasaloppet, or I have run this marathon, and I am showing that I'm up 6 a.m. and doing this exercise. So I think the mind is there. We still want to push ourselves to be active, but it has to be more explore. You want to like show off that you're doing that. Before it was more prestigeless, I think.
Have you reflected at all about why you think it shifted that way?
I don't know. Selling yourself, because I mean, it's always like that when, if you just look in research, when we ask people how much they move, they always say more. They tend to over report, not just because you don't remember, because it's, you know, it's a good behavior, it's a positive behavior. So you say, yes, I do that. The same like when you ask people how tall they are, they're always some centimeters more. And when you weigh how many kilos, okay, it's always some kilos less. So when you know the behavior is positive, you always tend to over report it.
Right.
So that is also that it's good in your CV. If you say you're an active person, it's always there when you see someone employing for, oh, I'm an active person, I like to be outdoor and blah, blah, blah. So that's also one way.
I also think it came maybe in the 1980s, at least here, when there came a new fashion with sports clothes, where you exposed your body in a new way. You had to show your muscles, also bodybuilding came. And so before it was more like just moving and have fun. But then you exposed your body. It's prestigeless, And it's a whole market today with sports clothing too.
Yeah.
But so, I remember when I was a child, every morning on the radio, there was a radio program, How to Wake Up. I think it was 5 or 10 minutes, Morgon Passet, where a person in the radio explained exercises so you should start your day well. And this is in the 60s. I mean, so it's very old.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always been there. And I think also that we have a really strong not in schools, as I said, mm. but the community and the association in sports club are is mm. really, really strong in Sweden. Mm. We have this Swedish Sport Confederation, which is the paraplyorganisation, I don't know, umbrella organization that is collecting all the sports club. I think they have, if I remember correctly, almost 19,000 sports club or around Sweden. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think they have like 3 million members in total. Wow. And that is both mostly like voluntary work, like I as a mom or you as a dad or something that is involved in this sports club to be the coach of your local soccer team or whatever. And that's really like gathering people together. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because I had in my suburb where I live, I had a friend moving in and they were more into the culture aspect. So they were more like painting and, you know, but they felt like it was a religion in this town where I came because everyone was moving around with their dresses, with their logo of our local sports club. And they felt, I don't want to be there. Where's the culture center here? And there are none. Okay. So they felt like an alien in this town because everybody lived in their dresses and everybody was going down to a local sport arena. And that's a little bit similar, I would say, in many small cities and suburbs. Like the arena, the sports arena are actually kind of a city center because there are this like.
So it's actually a good way for if you're a newcomer in Sweden, it's a good way of finding Swedes and meeting new friends.
Absolutely, that's a really good way to go down
there. And
you
have all kinds of sports. You have walking groups or orientation or things that doesn't necessarily has to be very heavy or very sporty. Yeah.
So in many clubs there are different, as you say,
levels.
What do you say? Like you can go ice hockey or soccer or just running or whatever. It doesn't always, it's just one sport. Mm-hmm. So
you touched on something that I wanted to ask you about, sort of related to cheering for sports in Sweden.
Yeah.
So something I've heard since moving here is sort of during National Day in Sweden, there will be fewer Swedish flags than there are in Sweden during the Norwegian National Day. Well, there will just be lots of Norwegian flags. So how have you've played for the women's national team? How do you see that aspect of society? Does it impact sort of cheering for sports, but especially at a national level?
So you mean that we're a little bit like restrictive with waving where our Swedish flags normally?
Exactly. But then you're also saying how from at a community level, there's quite a large support sort of for sports. So I'm just curious about these.
I would say that I think you can say that's a good point. It was this game you lost last night that Sweden was playing. And then it's really yellow, the Swedish colors on the stands. Mm. And I can say that's actually one of the few time points that you actually are allowed to wave with the Swedish flag because otherwise you're like actually a little bit more seen as it's crazy
as an extreme.
It's an extreme in some way, and that's also make it so like the contrast going to US or so on where the flags are all over. So actually that's one of the places where you're actually allowed to be really Swedish waving with the flags. But nah, I think then we can be really yellow and blue then. That's a good point.
There is a word in Swedish which is very difficult to translate into English, and the Swedish word is motion. So it's written in English like motion, which is actually maybe one of the starting points for sports or something. Or can you explain that?
I would like to have this kind of I would have some listeners calling in to help me to get a good word for this because we have been looking for a suitable word. But motion, it's similar to exercise, but it's much more prestigious. It's intended to be the first step of getting more active. I mean, telling someone to be more physically active, it could be actually during the day, at home, in school, and so on. But motion, the word motion, it's actually implying that you should actually get up, the pulse up, be a little bit out of breath, maybe change your clothes, but really prestigious. It's
no
nothing about performance, nothing to gain a better fitness or being muscle strength, but be active in a healthy way. And for me, exercise do not really imply that. It's also a little bit more. It could be performance. It could be just for health. But
So, be in motion, it's to move, actually, in any way.
Maybe in any way, but a little bit intended to be like exercise, but it's really prestigeless.
Yeah.
So that's really funny when we switch between Swedish and English sometimes when you write or talk things and you try to be explicit about that. I mean, this kind of, but not that kind. So that's one of those words. So if someone has a good
Swedes
word...
Swedes know about it. If you say motionera, which is the verb.
Yeah, and it's a little bit not for our teenagers. They're not like, oh, it's really fancy-pantsy to motionera. No, it's not.
No.
So that's the middle-aged and older ones, motionera, but...
That's true.
Yeah.
We all get there, though.
They want more to be exercisers or doing the strength training or, in there.
Interesting. What you are doing research about physical activities. So what do you think, what are some of the biggest challenges in getting people to be more physically active on a regular basis, not just after New Year's when you buy your gym card? What is it?
I mean, it's two ways. I often get the question, okay, so I'm the CEO of this company. How can I get my staff to move more? Or I'm in this school. And always as a researcher says, it depends on. It's like no one size doesn't fit all. So it's always, and I say, if I can help you in some way, I can say there are always two parts of getting people to move more. You have to have the external factors there. I mean, you have to give them the, if you're the CEO of a company, you have to give them the opportunity to maybe shower if they want to walk or cycle to work or having dressing room or, you know, lock your bike in or if that's, people are going to commute actively. That's some because if they're not there, they're not going to do it. But the other hand, the other thing that's the external factor, but the internal motivation, I mean, that's the key thing in all this. And that's why also the physical activity on prescription, the Swedish version, seems to work better because you can, with this motivational interviewing counseling that you have, you can have people to find their own motivation. Because a lot of times people think that the only thing that counts is when I change clothes, go to that exclusive gym, lift that weight that the influencer said that's good for you, that's going to count. And you have to find other ways to be active.
Yeah.
So the biggest challenge is to get people to, I mean, lower the threshold a little bit, their the expectation of what activity is, that you can do a lot during your daily life. But also the most common, like, answers that we get why people do not exercise is that they don't have time. And it's too expensive because you think that you have to buy the expensive things.
It's just like choosing the stairs instead of the elevator and
That's the first step to get more active. And that I say like an addiction. If you get the small step in and then you maybe can go in harder in the next step.
Is there research around sort of... group exercise and being a part of a group helping with motivation,
like positive group pressure.
Exactly.
Yeah, that actually is. If you look at that motivational components of the inner motivation, there are some components that are helping you to get motivated. For example, that you feel good at it. I mean, I feel I'm really bad at playing soccer. I won't do that, but I feel I'm good at ice skating. Then I'm going to do it. So it's going to motivate you. And also that it's freely your choice. I can choose what I'm going to do. But the other thing, like being a group, doing things together with others, then you maybe find both like, but they're waiting for me. I have to go because they're waiting for me and it's my group. But also that you maybe find other positive elements, like I have a social interaction. I mean, I talk with people while we're walking. We're talking about life or I get some, I mean, you get all the other aspects of social interaction that could be within the group. It's a good one.
When I walk my dog this morning in a park close to where I live, several mornings every week, there is a group of older people, I would say really old people. Who are doing sports together or exercising, I would say. There is a leader and they are outside and they are doing like some exercises and some running around and just jumping or it's nothing complicated. And they use, it's in this park, there is a small chapel and they use the chapel stairs to make steps up and down. And they hang things in the tree around. I think it's, for me, it's a super Swedish image.
Yeah.
And you can just see they have an old tape recorder outside, so they listen to old music, old pop music from the 70s.
I want to go.
Yeah, you can go there. And you can see they are really enjoying it.
Yeah.
And the trainee, I mean, he's like 20, 25, yeah. and the people are maybe 85.
Yeah.
And they have so fun together. It's really, I think it's super Swedish.
Yeah, it is. It's actually to do those things without needing the yeah. equipment or the place to be.
Yeah.
I really hope that we can preserve that idea that is actually Swedish tradition, that it doesn't have to be that complicated. The Friskis and Svettis, that's actually one of the gym. There are more gyms around here, if we should be of course. Politically correct. But that's of one of the... No, but that's actually that surrounds that kind of idea that you could be doing your exercise or your motion wherever you want to with whatever you have.
Yeah, nothing
fancy. That's a good one.
That's good. I'm interested in your research about the link between... How physical activity can strengthen your immune system to fight illnesses, not only as a rehab thing, but also preventional.
For many of those chronic diseases that we see today, the cardiovascular disease and the cancer and the depression and so on, there are actually many of the pathways are similar. So, for example, low-grade inflammation is one of the mechanism that are actually developing these diseases, even though it's a tumor growth or if it's like affecting your brain or if it's your heart and vessels. So for example, low grade inflammation, high levels of blood glucose and so on, those mechanisms are actually similar. So and then we can see in research, both when we look in the big data and also in intervention studies, that regular exercise or increase in exercise physical activity will lower these conditions, like these mechanisms that are developing those diseases. Maybe if you have a really high blood pressure, you should lower it with medication. But apart from that, being active will have an additional effect. And and we in Sweden have actually it's a really good, it's a complement to the physical activity on prescription. There is this book FIS. I don't know if you've heard about it.
Briefly.
Yeah. So FAS in Swedish is the Bible that the doctor is using when they're looking at, okay, you have an ear inflammation, I will look which medicament you would get. Okay, you weigh this much, you should have this kind of. So FIS was the similar one, but for physical activity. So there you have 20, 30, 40 different conditions where physical activity actually can be helpful in preventing or treatment. So when the doctor who's unsure of, okay, this diabetic patient, would it be helpful for him or her to be more active? They can go in and say, okay, diabetic type 1 or 2, and see like, okay, this is the this is the recommendation, this is the background, and this is the recommendation. So it will help.
Is that available for anyone?
Yeah, it's freely available, and it should be used by people. So that's what I say, that you have this broad effect in this many ways, and that's another thing on export, because it's actually been translated into English, Vietnamese, actually, because they were reaching out to Swedish doctors saying, we see that this chronic disease epidemic is reaching us. Can we please help our society to not get them? And they actually translated this to get the doctors to provide activity.
Fantastic. Well, it just sounds so important, even the language around health profession versus medical profession, of how being this more holistic, where doctors are, it seems like more, at least a bit more trained and not just prescribing medicine, but sort of holistically thinking, how can we care?
Absolutely. The problem is that the whole healthcare system is reactive. Yeah. So you go there when your throat is aching or if you have a fever or whatever. And that's brilliant because we have to help people that are already sick.
Yeah.
But what the debate today in Sweden is, who's going to take the responsibility for the prevention part?
Yeah.
I think about, there's an expression we talk about, an active lifestyle. What is that?
Yeah, an active lifestyle. That's something... I can say in my mind, it could be many things, but I think it's one way of remembering and getting us to remember how we lived before, how our parents lived before. And also I remember back to this Friskis and Svettis time when you did exercise and activity, not to perform something, but to be well. And often we can divide our life today because that has been shifting. When I was a kid, I could never ride our car anywhere. I always took the bike and you walked and you went out playing and you were constantly active in your daily life. Mm. So you have this, I call it the background activity. You're always like active, although you're not intended to be active because you had to move to get your life and work. I mean, you have to actually stand up from your chair, going to this shelf and get the papers that you were looking from. Now you're just clicking on your mouse and then you get the paper, or the printer is in your desk and so on. So everything is just constructed to be time efficient, and you do not have to move. And that could be good in a way. Mm. But what's happening from before is that this background activity have dropped. So that's to minimum for a lot of people. Yeah. Mm. And we try to compensate that with being those exercises in the gym and showing off. So you have, I always compare, you can give an example of a person working in an office, taking the car to work, for example, 1 hour, sit at work 4 hours, 5 hours of sitting, 1 hour in the lunchroom, 6 hours, 4 hours in the afternoon, you're up to 10 hours of sitting, 1 hour back in the car, and then 2-3 hours of sitting in front of a computer in the night. Yeah. Mm. So it's 12-13 sounds hours of sitting. Horrible. Yeah. And then trying to exercise in between. That's just to get this health. And it's really good that this person exercises, because that's going to be beneficial for him or her.
Yeah.
But it's because we have dropped that background activity. Mm. So the active lifestyle that you're talking about is getting people back to that thinking that you don't have to be that hysterical exerciser if you're not that type. You can actually be quite active, as we were when we were kids or our parents, when we had to be active during our daily life.
Mm. I think maybe follows also, the richer society gets, the less jobs where you move.
Mm. Yeah, it has dropped,
It has dropped. So now everything is more or less digitalized or in an office and so. So maybe it's a kind of human desire somewhere that you want to move.
And then it's like crazy. I mean, you have seen all the bikes when you have under your desk when you sit biking. I always
said the walking treadmills.
Yeah, and I also had a treadmill to my desk, because of course everyone wants you to, like, can you try my thing here, my product here, like. And I always say no, but this one I had to try that treadmill, and one of my colleagues came in and, oh, that's really like sustainable with all the electric power coming in, and you're walking there and like, nah, I know, I just have to try it. But that's crazy how we try to fix something that has gone broken a little bit. But so I always say, and one of my colleagues said, that what we're doing today, this drop in background activity and the hysterical, and we're going with a car everywhere and sitting in front of our screens, this is not like, is it an abnormal behavior in a normal environment? No, it's the other way around. It's a quite normal behavior in a really abnormal environment that we have created. Mm. So the starting point is not the small human, because we are trapped in this kind of built environment that we have created.
Yes.
So we have to start to helping us getting moved. So that's really interesting when we are doing collaboration with city planners and so on.
Mm.
Like, for example, Stockholm is a really friendly city for biking. I'm living 15K outside Stockholm, and I can bike easily from my home into Stockholm, where I work in the center of Östermalm up here in Stockholm.
Mm.
No problem, because it's a safe travel road for me. And that's just great to be able to walk or cycle or whatever. So just like city planning is one way, or where to put your sport facilities, or, you know.
Yeah. My wife's actually urban researcher, and she's working on a project to make sort of, I think it's 5 to 25 kilometer commuting by cycling better in the Nordic region. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
I have one question too, because some of our listeners, they came here maybe recently, they have left a family at home, they might feel alone or a bit depressed. I've heard, and I think it's quite known, that to do some sports or movement, some physical activity, is good for your cognitive function or your mental health, like anxiety and depression. Do you agree with that?
I would agree with that. It can both be the activity in itself. It can also be the, you know, getting out in the, if you're out doing the exercise. There are research looking at people being down in a gym with no windows, nothing at all, and people doing the same exercise outside in the sunshine, and there are differences in the experience of the exercise and the impact of mental health. So absolutely, but also showing that, and it were one of the one of the finest randomized controlled trials looking at different modes of exercise in patient with depression symptoms. And they actually saw that the low intensity one was the most successful one, although the other moderate and more intense activities, but they found that the low intensity were more yoga and were more where you can maybe could like talk with people also. So you had an interaction of doing activity and it could be the mental contemplation, a little bit more like that. So it could be different parts of the activity, both the actually effect on your body and your brain and the increased blood flow and the reduction of the inflammation markers and other release of important markers and in your body. But it can also be the mental aspect of the, of you know, maybe getting your thoughts in other than thinking about what is actually worrying you. Could be both,
Good. I have a very important question. How does someone new to Stockholm choose a Stockholm football club?
Oh, that's easy. There's only one club. No, that's hard. There are three main clubs. Hammarby, AIK, and Djurgården. And most often, if you're born here, you have one specific team, and they're a little bit... from different parts of Stockholm, I would say. So Hammarby is more the southern part, I would say. Djurgården, I don't know where they're from because I'm not Djurgården, but they're mostly in the city or like a little bit around, and AIK is more in the north part of it. So you have to just go and feel the atmosphere, but I can say that Hammarby is a really nice team.
But you also have more local, smaller clubs too, if you have younger kids.
Just kidding, but those are the three big teams that you're sharing from. But that's a tricky one.
You have to look at the colors.
Yeah.
Which color do you like most? Okay.
So which team is yours then? Have you chosen
I don't have one.
No.
I at some point thought, you know, I think I'm going to pick a small one like Stockholm.
Essinge IF.
Yeah, there's
some small one that's good. One.
I think Stockholm International and is going to move to Kungsholmen once they finish the Christina Bodies football pitch. Yeah. So
there are many small local clubs. So good.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for
joining us. It's really interesting to hear about sport and motion or physical activity.
Motionera mera. That was an ad. I was younger. Well, Philip, interesting talk. It's actually a really big subject in Sweden. As a Swede, I don't really think about it because I think it's really in my DNA to always like go out and do something.
Yeah,
you should go out every day. It doesn't have to be sport. It can just be a walk, or because you feel better after.
Yeah, exactly. I think sort of hearing about the switch at some point from this prestigeless just exercising or motion because for the sake of it to sort of needing to document it's definitely something to think about. Sort of maybe it's a part of our humanity of wanting to be presentable to others and so or seeking approval, and so I think how we can sort of turn anything into that. And so I'm inspired just to think about sort of daily life again and how getting up to get a coffee or just taking a walk around the block every hour when it's, it's inspiring.
Yeah, and also think it's very positive to know that there are so many different ways you can be physical active in. Yeah. You don't have to be a professional runner or biker or go to a gym. You can just do any kind of movement actually is good for your health.
Yeah.
And I think that's something important for people coming here too, and it's a good way also of meeting other people.
Exactly Crucial too.
Yeah. I think so. Good.
Great.
Thank you.
Well, we hope you enjoyed listening. Thanks for being a great audience, and make sure to follow along for the next episode. And this podcast is presented by Stockholm's Akademiska Forum. Stockholm is a state of minds. Hey, Stockholm is a state of minds. Yeah, we break it down like this and like that. Welcome to the podcast. Stockholm is where it's at.